Are you happy you're not in the Senate?
You know, yeah. Of course, there's for so many reasons, but with what's going on right now, and you know, look, if there's a situation here and it needs to be looked into, then let's look into it. But also, let's make sure that this isn't just a ploy to delay. And I'm glad I'm not in the Senate to have to deal with it.
Yeah, I was telling Robert, since I work with some people who are considerably younger than me, that I can remember being on the Strip on a Saturday afternoon and watching Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court hearings,
mm-hmm.
because every TV at every drinking establishment on the Strip on a Saturday afternoon had that on. I think people, and that's what I'm seeing happening again.
Right. And it was a case where I think a long term look, if the allegations are factual, but the thing is, it can't be a he said, she said. There has to be witnesses, and every witness that they come brought forward. And if you want that opportunity to come forward, and you should have that opportunity, when it's offered to you, take it. But instead, what you have is you have people lawyer up. You have people say, okay, no, I want it this way instead. Then that is a very poor perception to the public because if it's factual, then we want to know it. But it needs to be handled in the right way.
93-7, the Senate yesterday votes on $854 billion spending bill. Here's the thing. I read the House sent one. The Senate okayed it last week, the minibus, as it was called. And then this one. So did the Senate make a change, and now the House has to go back? Because I saw this, and I thought it was a done deal last week, to be honest with you, Congressman. And here we are seeing $854 billion, the Senate vote, 93-7 yesterday, okaying that budget.
Right. And so that's a conference committee that comes back. That's what we sent over. There's an agreement. What we're going to do is we're going to pass those budgets. Remember, there's 12 different budget bills. We'll pass those that we can find agreement on, and we will probably do CRs, which are continuing resolution, basically through December. So I think the word right now is December 7th on those that we don't agree upon.
Right.
That way we don't shut down the government. But see, this goes to a lot larger problem. Tom, since the passing of the Budget Act and Process Act of 1972, we have only passed a budget through the U.S. Congress three times, a full budget. There's parts of it, and one part gets passed one year, and another part gets passed. So there's a flaw in the process by which it was created in 72. If you keep going back and doing the same thing over and over again, remember what they say about that?
You bet.
Expecting
different outcomes.
So let's look at what the real process is, and that's one of the things we need to look at. And remember, it is a very, very big process, and each area of and they refer to them as the cardinals, the 12 cardinals in the House, and that's the 12 chairmen of each one of those budgets. And as they move forward, and the bad thing is the way it's set up, someone can put a poison pill in amendment, and all of a sudden you'll never get it passed with that in it, and then you're caught.
$674.4 billion defense appropriation, including a 2.6 military raise. My understanding, Mike, that is the first military raise in eight. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Did you miss me there?
Yeah,
I'm back. Oh, okay. Mike, and well, I'll just go back here and run this again. The package included a stopgap funding measure, as you said, December 7th. $674.4 billion defense appropriation, including military pay raises. That's 2.6, my understanding. I haven't got to fully research the first military raise in 8 years.
Right. That's exactly what we put in the House, and they went ahead and carried that on. We've got to make sure our military. We went through that same problem with the military pay back during the Carter administration. And what you do is if you want to keep good quality people, you've got to go ahead and make sure that the pay scale matches the private sector.
$3.8 billion for opioids.
Yep.
Wow.
It's a real problem and a real issue. Remember, we passed over somewhere between 40 and 50 bills dealing with this situation. And we it's everything from education to stricter guidance on docs on distribution, on oversight on prescriptions, and that those docs include dentists and others in each field. Then also education, also planning dollars that would help local communities deal with law enforcement as well as local issues with opioids. It is a huge problem. We've had hearings after hearing here after hearings, and we've got to stay focused on it.
Pell grants, too. And you know what's interesting, because when you look at education funding, student loan crisis, and on you can go, this is a word that two words that I have not heard in a number of years. And there is what I'm seeing here is an increase in Pell grants as well.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, cost of education is going up. Cost of living is going up. So we have to make sure. However, what we also have to do is look at the long-term planning of what we're going to do with our education system. Do you want to, you want to encourage everyone to seek the best education they can, but also if they're not wanting to go into something that's a four-year degree, that's why we're also working on making sure that, the trades are being trained in and that we work. Actually, what's really wild is we're working with our unions also to get that quality trade people, because we're short workers in so many locations. So it makes no sense to have somebody go and encourage them to go take a four-year degree, and they go get a tremendous amount of student debt, and the next thing you know, they're working in a trade skill, which is, they're good to have them in a trade skill, but they're paying off a student debt where they might have a degree in something that has absolutely nothing to do with what they're doing.
Lynn Small-Levy, have you made it through across the finish line here on this?
Yeah, I think we have. We got to now, of course, and always the challenge is to work with the bureaucracy of what is the Army Corps of Engineers to make sure they implement everything that we tried to pass. The idea is we have to try to figure out a way to present the funding. That's what we think we've done in the language this year and what has now been approved through the Senate. And in the fact that we can go in and bring the Lynn Small levy back to a situation where it is a five-year levy, not something that was not before, and make sure that the high pressure side is secured. Now, understand, if you've been down there, Tom, and you know, I've had that conversation, this looks like the desert planet off of Star Wars.
Right.
That property down there, and it's thousands of acres, is under sand. The best you can hope for is somebody goes in and actually makes a sand pit or something like that down there and actually start selling sand and you get a job that way. But the farmland is gone on that side. However, we're trying to protect the navigation, and we can protect that navigation by using this language to make sure that we can repair so it doesn't cut through there at the dogtooth curve.
Sophistry is a problem that is fought on the intellectual level and just blatant lies, all right? And it's interesting because you voted for this, and they called it an emissions rollback, when in fact we had not reached the point in which they wanted things changed. And I am literally, one of the headlines I saw the morning after that vote was cars, Trump administration or something to that effect, allows cars to spew pollution. And I'm thinking, that's just, you know, not everybody ran out and started taking their catalytic converters off and started running leaded gas. And, read this stuff and you go, come on.
Well, here's the thing. The standards that we're trying to be reached, we have a quality standard right now that's coming out. However, the next level was a level that they weren't sure they could reach. Can they still continue to work on it? Sure they can. But the thing is, if they are rushing to try to meet this goal, that are unrealistic goals, to appease a group that didn't understand what they were asking for in the first place, then it's time to calm down and let's let people in the United States work. Look, as we look over into China and these other countries, as we see their, you know, what they're doing, and they're trying to eat our lunch and we're fighting on the tariff and everything else, but they're not got these standards. I want to make sure it's safe, but I want to make sure we aren't also swinging the pendulum so far out of whack that we put ourselves in a position that we can't compete in that world market, which it is today.
Well, and let's take a look at that, Mike, because the minute you said that, I thought, I wonder, would Volkswagen have done what they did about their emissions had they not been pushed into a corner where they felt they didn't have any choice? Not that what they did was correct, but, you know, there is a second order of effect when legislation and philosophies and rhetoric are out there on the loose. People, you know, in a vacuum in particular, can come up with some pretty crazy ideas to deal with it, and that hurt.
With no experience at all on the engineering or design or whether we're capable of reaching that level.
Right.
And that's what you get when you have, you know, different groups. You know, I mean, Tom, it's everything that we try to deal with, and when we deal with legislation, you try to listen to the experts, but sometimes there's people that come in to claim to be experts that have a political bias, and I'm not talking Republican, Democrat, they have a bias towards the issue. And when they give testimony, they give it with a grandiose idea that they know have no idea of understanding what to have to achieve. Right. And here's a concern that's out there, and I'll give you an example of that. When we started talking in ag about right now the Bitcoin and all of these trading options that would be available, we don't know the history. So we had to get people to come in that kind of designed it. Well, they're selling a product, okay? We've got to have some true people that understand the markets, understand what we're looking at whenever we all of a sudden start changing to some other form of currency and some currency which you can't secure. That's why a lot of people would like to see us move forward, but wisely we go, now, wait a minute, let's look at this. Same thing with the air quality control. We would love to meet the standards that they were asking for, but the reality is can you reach it in a way that's affordable and allows for us to still compete in a worldwide market?
You know, we have also learned that there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of jobs open in the VA right now, and that means that we've been understaffed. Now, you, along with the House Veterans Affairs Committee Chair Phil Rowe from Tennessee, were at the Marion VA.
Yes, we were.
What'd you learn?
Let me